This is Bill Woods again in the high desert community of Sun Valley, Arizona, and I wanted to bring my weekly offering to you to tell you what God's been talking to me about this week. The title of this video or this podcast is America, Come Back to God. A snake made his hole close to the porch of a cottage. One day it bit the baby of the cottage and the child died. The grieving father resolved that he was going to kill that snake. The next day, when the snake came out of its hole for food, the father took his axe. He planned to chop the head off the snake, but he swung too quickly because he was nervous. He missed its head and cut off the end of the snake's tail. After some time, the dad became afraid the snake would bite him too, and so he decided to make peace with the snake. He put some bread and salt in the hole. The snake, hissing, said, "There can never be peace between us, because whenever I see you, I'll remember the loss of my tail, and whenever you see me, you'll be thinking of the death of your son." The lesson? You must never attempt to make friends with sin. Either sin will destroy you, or you must destroy sin. Israel couldn't seem to grasp this lesson, this idea. No matter how God blessed them, Israel couldn't leave sinful living alone. They couldn't leave the heathen idols alone. They couldn't leave the heathen religion alone. Nehemiah 9:25-31 says, "Our ancestors captured fortified cities and fertile land. They took over houses full of good things with cisterns already dug and vineyards and olive groves and fruit trees in abundance. So they ate until they were full and grew fat and enjoyed themselves in all their blessings. But despite all this, they were disobedient and rebelled against you. They turned their backs on your law. They killed your prophets who warned them to return to you, and they committed terrible blasphemies. So you handed them over to their enemies who made them suffer. But in their time of trouble, they cried to you, and you heard them from heaven. In your great mercy, you sent them liberators who rescued them from their enemies. But as soon as they were at peace, your people again committed evil in your sight, and once more you let their enemies conquer them. Yet whenever your people turned and cried to you again for help, you listened once more from heaven. In your wonderful mercy, you rescued them many times. You warned them to return to your law, but they became proud and obstinate and disobeyed your commands. They did not follow your regulations, by which people will find life if only they obey. They stubbornly turned their backs on you and refused to listen. In your love, you were patient with them for many years. You sent your spirit who warned them through the prophets, but still they wouldn't listen. So once again, you allowed the people of the land to conquer them. But in your great mercy, you did not destroy them completely or abandon them forever. What a gracious and merciful God you are." You know, what a picture that is of our nation today. God has blessed this nation more than any nation except Israel. We've turned our backs on him and we are reaping the consequences. It's interesting to see the downward progression in nations and churches. Seems like the first generation, you know, is white hot for the cause that they have. There have been revival. There have been things that they've done. They've declared their freedoms and all. And they're just excited about it, white hot for the cause. The second generation appreciates what's been handed to them and tries to honor it as they could. The third generation begins to forget their heritage. And the fourth generation throws heritage out the window because they forget the whys and wherefores and want their own thing. And we're seeing the fourth generation today forgetting our whys and wherefores, forgetting why we have a nation with freedom like we did. That historic cycle of Israel is unfortunately still the story of nations and churches today. We're watching our nation drift clear away from God because this modern generation hasn't gone through what our forefathers did and has no idea what the cost has been for the freedoms that they take so for granted. That's why there's a move on to tear down statues, monuments, obliterate historical figures from our heritage. Worse, one of the problems is the church hasn't been faithful to God and has lost her influence on this nation. Whenever Israel hit bottom, they called out to God and repented. He was there, and God answered their prayers, if it was genuine repentance, if they were really saying, we're sorry and we're going to turn our lives around. God is here for us today. We need to repent. We need to turn back to Him. Rebellion is destroying our nation and destroying many of our churches. The difference today is God is soon going to call things to a halt. The day of grace will pass, and the day of God's wrath and judgment will be in force. Jesus Christ will soon rescue His bride, the true church, those who are trying to live for Him. He will rescue us in the rapture, and then there will be 7 years of hell on earth called the Great Tribulation, which will be for those who are left behind. I would say today, shore up your relationship to Jesus Christ. Do not be left behind at the rapture. If you are, it's going to be terrible, terrible time. In looking at current events, we're apparently the generation that Jesus was pointing to when He said in Matthew 24, 34 and 35, assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but My words will by no means pass away. He was referring to the time frame of His return and the end of the world. A key sign of the end times is Israel becoming a nation again. That happened on May 14, 1948, after 2,000 years of virtual non-existence of Israel as a nation. That's been 72 years ago. That generation that He was talking about is getting old, so the time He referred to for His coming must be close. We can't know the date of the rapture, but we can know the season. It's like a woman expecting a baby. She doesn't know the exact date the baby will come, but she knows it's close because of birth pangs and the strain on her body, the pains and things she's experiencing. We can sense the birth pangs of the rapture and the second coming and see the strain our world is experiencing today. People ask, do you think we're in the tribulation now? Well, not yet, because certain prophecies specific to the Great Tribulation haven't happened, but I think we're in a practice mode for the real thing. What are some of the signs to watch for the Great Tribulation? Jesus said in Matthew 24, 5 through 8, for many will come in My name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. There have been many, false claims by people claiming to be the Messiah. We certainly hear about wars and rumors of wars. All you have to do is watch the news and you'll see what's going on in our world. Maybe not honestly, but you'll see. We hear about famines. We're told of people in America going to bed hungry and some even dying of starvation, as hard as that is to believe. Jesus warned there would be pestilences. Pestilence is a contagious epidemic. And all you have to do is check out what's happened with COVID-19 virus today. It's inconceivable how quickly this disease has spread and has practically brought our nation to its knees. The coronavirus has effectively altered our economy, our social lives, our travel, our educational institutions, our worship, our workforce, our political world, and has filled our hospitals and our funeral homes with sick and dying people. There have been demonstrations, riots, looting, murders, mass destruction of buildings, historical statues and monuments have been destroyed. Cities, parts of cities have been taken over, like Seattle with the CHOP group, and now Portland, Oregon is being taken over, and people are afraid to even go into downtown Portland, Oregon, because of what's happening down there. The Black Lives Matter movement is trying to bring Marxism to destroy our freedoms. And I want you to know, Marxism never works. We must recognize the difference between the slogan Black Lives Matter and the movement Black Lives Matter. Let's all be clear. All lives matter, whether they're black or white or red or whatever. Every life matters. But, you know, the Black Lives Matter organization is trying to do far more. They are trying to bring on Marxism, which will take away our freedoms and which will put us into a bondage like we've never seen in the United States. Let's be clear. All lives do matter. There's even talk of civil war if things don't straighten out soon. Who'd have thought the United States could be brought down so quickly? Jesus said there'd be earthquakes in populated places. The interesting thing there is when Jesus mentioned earthquakes, there's only about one per century. Now we hear about several on the seismograms every minute. There are tsunamis, tornadoes, hurricanes, fires, floods, pestilence, again that's disease, and all kinds of natural phenomena happening at a rate like we've never seen before. Look at the violent crime rate with rape, murder, massive shootings, and all kinds of terrible things people do to one another. God is warning us, and we'd better pay attention while there's still time to repent. Today's society has become like the world that Noah lived in, the world that God had to destroy with the flood. We look in the Old Testament and we think how horrible it was that the people back there used to sacrifice their babies to Moloch and to other idols, and they'd burn them in the fire. Well, today we abort our babies for our convenience. At least 250 million babies have been aborted so far, according to the Pharmacists for Life organization. We celebrate gay marriage. We don't think about marriage. Cohabitation seems to be the trend of the day. Pornography. We flaunt every indecency we possibly can. And then we wonder why God is going to rain judgment upon our land. He'll not put up with this behavior forever. I'm not trying to scare you or send you into a deep depression. I simply want to recognize where we are as a nation and remind you that Christ is the answer for everything that's going on. God's not surprised at what's happening today, and He is still in charge. Rather than panic, we need to rejoice because our salvation is coming soon. Jesus said to pay attention. He said in Mark chapter 13, 32 through 37, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming. In the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch." That was Jesus' warning. Christians need to watch and pray and become more aggressive in spreading the message of salvation. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land." Listen, we need to be on our faces confessing the sins of this nation. We need to be asking God in a personal way to be our Lord and Savior. God is soon going to pour His wrath on a sinful world that has rejected Him. Right now, Satan is doing everything he can to frustrate God's plan and to damn souls to hell, but he's presently restrained by the Holy Spirit. Satan can only do what God will allow him to do. We read in 2 Thessalonians 2, 6 through 11, And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, from whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. The one that's restraining, that said that we are, is the Holy Spirit and is the church. As long as the Holy Spirit and the church are here, Satan cannot do everything he wants to do. But when the rapture comes and the church is taken to the marriage feast of the Lamb, and Satan then will, the Holy Spirit will be taken out, and Satan will then have free reign to do whatever he wants to do. During the great tribulation, Satan will not be restrained. He'll have, like I said, free reign. I want to be with Jesus, don't you? That brings me to the dress rehearsal we're witnessing for the coming tribulation. Satan's practicing to learn how to control and manage the world for those 7 years when he and his minions will have full control of humanity. This COVID-19 pandemic, also called the coronavirus, has revealed many things that Satan needs to know about taking total control of the world. Listen and learn and avoid his trap. First, he must create irrational panic. That way, people will blindly follow him. Panic will motivate people to sacrifice their rights and freedoms to gain a false sense of security and safety. Because of panic, churches, businesses, restaurants, practically everything has been closed. We've been locked into our homes. Imagine Satan's glee in seeing churches and group worship of God shut down. Then there's isolation. Causing people to fear any contact with each other will lead to depression and loneliness, which for many people can be overwhelming. The suicide rate happens to be up right now because of this virus, and people happening to stay in can't go anyplace. When people are home, demons can fill their minds with all sorts of depraved thoughts under these isolated conditions. And it is said, an idle mind is the devil's playground. The other day, my wife was at the grocery store, and she was behind some lady with her mask on and all. And Marty got just a little bit, you know, just standing in line, and the lady turned around and said, get back. Don't you know you have to be 6 feet away from me? And she really had a hissy fit here. Then the next thing is the ruined economy. People who've lost their financial support will be vulnerable to control, or to control, when the devil wants to usher in the mark of the beast. It's been questioned how the mark of the beast, it's noted in Revelation 13, 14 through 18, how that could be implemented and enforced on the whole world. This week, it was announced that there is a shortage of coins in the United States, and many businesses are no longer going to use coins to give change. The price of an item will be rounded to the nearest whole number. The other morning, we went to Burger King for breakfast, and I was surprised I paid $4 for what usually cost me $4.26. I said, well, don't you want the 26 cents? She said, we're no longer dealing in change. If the price had been $4.59, I would have had to pay $5. There is talk today of doing away with the $1 bills and the $5 bills, and people are expected to use their debit or their credit cards. This way, people can be traced regarding their spending. The next step will be a chip, which you will notice is already in most of your debit cards, your credit cards. Then it'll be, a rationale will be, well, you could lose that card, so the chip needs to be put in your skin so you will have it always. Eventually, nothing will be bought or sold without permission of whoever runs the economy. Antichrist will be tracing where you are buying and selling, and he will decide if you qualify to go ahead and buy or sell. Along with these controls, currently the World Health Organization and their associates are recommending everybody in the entire world be vaccinated for COVID-19, which they're working, trying to get the vaccine done. When you're vaccinated, you'll be given a pin or a mark or a certificate showing that you complied with the law and that you were vaccinated. Without this proof, you will not be allowed to leave your home or buy or sell. Wow, does that ever sound familiar? This is the first generation that can see those kind of controls enforced worldwide because of today's scientific advancements. This pandemic dress rehearsal warns me that I don't want to miss the rapture when Jesus Christ comes for his saints. I don't want to miss out on God's plan for me should I die before he comes. Hell is not a place I want to go. It'll be worse than the tribulation, and the problem is it's forever. You'd be wise to be ready to meet Jesus Christ too. For those who will be left behind and face the tribulation, this little coronavirus episode is nothing. The real great tribulation will be more than terrifying than those who refuse to accept the mark. Let me say that again. The real tribulation will be more than terrifying for those who refuse to accept the mark. And the things we see that Stephen King comes up in his movies will be tame and not even amount to much compared to what's going to happen during the tribulation, and especially during an eternity in hell. People won't have the privilege during the tribulation to call on God like we have today, to have God forgive our sins, excuse me, and accept him as Lord and Savior. People say, I've had people say to me, well, I'll just reject Satan, I'll live for Jesus then. My response is, really? If you can't commit to him now, if you can't live for him now, why do you think you'll have courage to serve Jesus then, when persecution will be so much more drastic? You know what to do for your own good. Do it. Confess your sins. Accept Jesus as your Savior. Repent. Turn your life around. Live for him. The only opportunity to gain heaven during the Great Tribulation will be to resist Antichrist, refuse his mark, face torment, torture, even decapitation. God's grace will have to run out, or will have run out, and it'll take sheer grit without witness of the Holy Spirit to assure you that you're right with God. Listen, Christ's warning said, then you'll be arrested, persecuted, killed. You'll be hated all over the world because you are my followers. And many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and will deceive many people. Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. Christ's advice in 2 Corinthians 6:2 said, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Meanwhile, remember what it says in 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. What a difference Jesus Christ can bring to your life. I read a story about a man was giving his testimony at one of those old Salvation Army open-air street meetings. He was testifying, and a heckler in the crowd yelled, why don't you just shut up and sit down? You're just dreaming. Well, immediately that heckler felt a tug on his coat. He looked down to see a little girl who said, sir, may I speak to you? That man who is talking up there is my daddy. Daddy used to be a drunkard. He used to spend all his money he made on whiskey. My mother was very sad and would cry most of the time. Sometimes when Daddy would come home, he would hit my mother. I didn't have shoes or a nice dress to wear to school, but look at my shoes and see this pretty dress. My daddy bought these for me now. But the little girl wasn't through with the heckler yet. See my mother over there, she said. She's the one with the bright smile on her face. She's happy now. She sings even when she's doing the ironing. Then the little girl said, "Mister, if my daddy is dreaming, please don't wake him up." Imagine what it would be like if people of America repented and came back to God. America, come back to God while there is still time. I will tell you this, no matter what we have to face, if you're going through rough times, if you're depressed, if you don't know what's lying ahead, it will be worth it all when you see Jesus. The Gaithers wrote a little song of the chorus that says, "There's a promised land made for all the free when our race on earth is run, where no broken dreams will mar our memory. It'll be worth it all when we get home. It will be worth it all just to see his face when he claims us for his own. Then 10 million years to sing Amazing Grace. It will be worth it all when we get home. There are no sad farewells. There are no tear-stained eyes. There are no heartache, grief, or woe. There are no shattered hopes will ever cloud the skies. It'll be worth it all when we get home." I'll sing the chorus. "It will be worth it all just to see his face when he claims us for his own. Then 10 million years to sing Amazing Grace. It will be worth it all when we get home." I would encourage you today, in the face of this coronavirus, in the face of all that's happening, in realizing it will not be long until the day of grace is over, Jesus Christ is coming for his church, he will take those who are ready home with him, I would encourage you to get your heart ready and be ready when Jesus Christ comes after you. Shall we pray? Dear Jesus, I just pray that you'll use this podcast today for its intended purpose, to inform people of the love of God, to inform people the times we're living in are rough times, but we've got so much ahead if we know you as our personal Savior. Speak to our lives, our hearts today. Lord, let your Holy Spirit come in and reveal to us, each one, how important it is to accept Christ as our personal Savior and Lord. Bless those that are listening today, and I pray, God, there'll be those that will open their lives and hearts to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We'll talk to you next week.